Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Stand, please, while we read the Word of God. We're starting at verse number 14. Verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We'll stop reading there and bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Keep your Bibles open, and we'll try to bring you the message God laid on our hearts for tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be back in the house of God this evening. Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name that you'll take everything that's been said and all the singing and all that's been done to magnify yourself and get glory out of it. And God, that it'll be a sweet smell in your nostrils that you may bless. And Father, I pray this service will be yielded unto you for your glory. I ask for that divine help. I pray, God, for every person here, every unsaved. Lord, my heart cries to you that you bring conviction and draw them by your power. And I pray, God, they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior tonight. Lord, we've got missionaries here that's going to other places, and they're carrying the gospel, and they're excited about getting the gospel to those places. And Lord, help us be excited about getting the gospel here. Because these folk here are going to hell without Jesus if they don't get saved. So I pray for them. And I pray for those tonight that may be going through hard times and troubles and difficulties. Then, Lord, some that we've heard of that's having surgeries this week. And I pray for Matt Bishop, and I ask you, God, to help him. I pray for others that you touch their bodies and help them according to your will. And, Father, we'll thank you. And I pray you bless Brother Kyle and help him and others, Lord, that's in the hospital, those that are struggling with physical needs. And then, Lord, we come tonight and recognize the greatest need of all, spiritual. And I need your help preaching. I need you tonight to touch me. I pray for that divine touch of God. May we forget everything else and center in on what you have for us. Speak to our hearts. Deal with our lives. And we'll give you the glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to try to preach tonight on this subject. No, never in John's gospel. Now, it'd be the word no or never. That thought anyway. I'm glad there's some nevers in the Word of God. And I got to looking in John and found several of those never not be, and I just got caught up in it, and I praise God for it, and want to share it with you tonight as much as I possibly can by his help and by his grace. I want you to look at verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not perish. Note that word. Then verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say, first of all, the never, that shall not. Brother Chris just made the statement about God doing in the future what he said he'd do and how he fulfills his word. If he said he shall not perish, we shall not perish. It's never. And you could put the word never in there, never perish, shall not perish, and it'd still be true, still be right. I'm glad, thank God, I'll never perish. Amen. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to burn there forever and forever and scream and cry and want water and can't get water and be in misery and sorrow. And I hear people say today, well, I'm living in hell now. You don't even have an idea what hell's about. You've got a drop of water today on the tip of your tongue, you're not in hell. You had a bite to eat, you're not in hell. If you had a moment's ease, a little bit of rest. We talked this morning about taking a nap this afternoon, getting some rest, and thank God for that. Amen. But wouldn't you hate to be in a place where you can never get one moment, not one moment, peace at all? You say, preacher, that's fairy tale stuff. No, that's Bible preaching. That's Bible preaching that had been going on for years, and people been hearing it and believing it and getting saved. And I still believe it needs to be preached and taught today. That people without Christ go to hell, a burning hell. And without Jesus Christ, it's real. Be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. You say, preacher, that's an impossibility for anybody to go to hell and burn forever and forever. You don't know what's possible. As far as you know, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. Not this body. Not this body. This body will decay and go back to the earth from whence it came. And for saved people, there'll be a resurrection. We'll get a new body. But for the unsaved, there'll be resurrection one day, but I don't believe in a new body. It says nothing about a new body for them. And then they'll be cast into the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. And by the way, they don't have to wait to the great white throne judgment to go to hell. They go to hell immediately. A rich man lifted up his eyes, he died and was buried in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And there was no waiting period. There's no in-between place. And not somewhere where you go and decide if you're going to choose to serve God and get saved and go to heaven. There's no someplace to go where somebody can pay the priest and pray you out. Give you enough money or do something to get you out of there. You're going, it's either going straight to hell or going straight to heaven. One or the other. You say, preacher, that's not modern day preaching. I know it's not. That's old-fashioned preaching, and that's Bible preaching. Now, you're right, amen. And I like Bible preaching, and this thing of going to hell is not a popular subject, and I don't like to preach it per se, except to trying to keep somebody out of there. It's not pleasant thought. It's not something you glory in, and I don't preach you going to hell. Praise God, amen, hallelujah. I preach you going to hell, and may God help you not to go to hell. It's my thought, my desire, my very being within me cries out for you not to perish. And here in this scripture, we have the promise, will not perish, shall never perish, not perish. I say hallelujah. Every unsaved, when this word perish is used, it doesn't mean annihilation. It means separation from God forever and forever. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was separated from the Father. So I'd never be separated from the Father. I say praise his name and thank him. I'm glad there'll never be a time that I'll be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, you may fail and you may come short of the glory of God. That's true, I may, but I won't be separated from Christ. Because there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing shall. I'm glad. I know sin breaks my fellowship, but doesn't break my relationship. It doesn't have anything to do with my standing before God. I am saved, saved, saved. As one fella said, I'm so saved it's pitiful. Amen. Can't lose it. Now I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, you don't preach like that either, because it gives people the idea they can get saved and live any kind of way. If that's the way you feel about it, I'm saved. I can do anything and I'm still going to heaven. It's evident fact you never got saved to start with. Because saved people just don't think that way. They have a desire to live for God. And we'll get along that line a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, I'm never perish. Amen. I may go through the cemetery, the body may, but I won't. I'll be absent from the body. I'll be present with the Lord. If you ever have a funeral service for me, I won't be around. I won't be in that service. I'll be in heaven shouting glory, hallelujah, and praising his name and worshiping those that worship there and worship with him. I say thank God for that reality. I want you to look in chapter 4, verse number 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Now here you know the story how that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, how he met the woman of Samaria at the well, how they began a conversation, began to talk, and it wasn't long before it came up about where's the right place to worship. And of course the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Samaritans were half Jews, and the Jewish people, they despised them and had nothing to do with them. And there they were, and they were talking, and she was amazed that he would even speak to her. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't get caught up in this class thing and what color you are or who you are or where you're from or what your ancestry is? He just started talking to her because she's a human being that he was going to go to the cross and die for. And she began to talk about worship. She brought it up and began to talk about where to worship. And then he began to talk to her about what true worship is, must worship in spirit and in truth. And as they talked, and she came to get water, and he got to talking to her about the water that he gives. And notice what it said in that verse number 14, I believe it is. But whosoever drinketh this water that I give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. I'm talking about nevers and that kind of thing in the book of John. Never thirst. And so here she is. She's thinking about physical water. Jesus is thinking about spiritual water and said, you'll never thirst. I am glad, thank God, today. Did you know these people here thirsting? These people here thirsting for something that they long for, fulfill their life. When you're real thirsty physically, there's nothing to take the place of a good glass of water. And drink that and quench that thirst and satisfy that thirst. But every human being on the face of God's earth has been given a thirst for God. There's a thirst for God. And every society ever found anywhere in the world, they've had some kind of God. They've worshiped something. They had something they looked to, and they had some kind of God. I say to you tonight, I want you to know there's somebody that can quench your thirst, and you'll never thirst again. I say hallelujah. I used to look for life, and one day life found me. I wanted to find out what life was about. I wanted to know what I was doing here, what my purpose was. What in the world did it mean to live anyway? And why was I on God's earth? What did it mean to anybody or anybody else or myself or anything? I didn't know. I'm looking for it, but I'm glad one day life came by looking for me and saved me, and I found life. Amen. He found me, then I forgot in him. And I got that thirst quenched, and I'm not thirsting now. I don't care who you are, where you're from. If you don't get saved, you'll have that thirst spiritually in your life. It'll be there. It'll never be satisfied. It'll always be looking for something. You'll always be trying something else. You're always out there wandering around, wondering about it. But I'm glad, praise God, it is good when you get a drink of spiritual water and you get satisfied with that drink. Amen. Shall never thirst again. That means that thing about getting saved, born again. I never have to thirst after that again because I got it. I got it. In fact is, if you read on in this chapter, you'll find this woman, she got excited. She left her vessel there and she went and she took the well in her heart, and she run back to town and started telling everybody. It was like an artesian well springing up inside of her, and her thirst was quenched. She found what she was looking for, and she didn't know when she went to that well to get water physically as she's going to get a well of water spiritually, and that she's going to get born in the family of God. But she got so saved that she couldn't wait to tell somebody else that she got saved. And she left her water pot back there. The physical didn't mean so much to her then. She got wrapped up in the spiritual and went back and told everybody in town. I met a man that told me everything ever I did. You know when she got under real conviction? When God touched on her sin problem. There she was, and they began to talk and talking about things. And then Jesus asked her, said, where's your husband? Or something about her husband. And she said, I have none, Lord. And he said, that's right. The one you have now is not your husband. In other words, she was shacked up somewhere, living with somebody that wasn't her husband. Said, you've had five, and now you're shacked up somewhere. And she began to get under conviction. She began to realize, hey, that's why we preach against sin, because God chose it. Amen. When you preach against sin, somebody's going to get under conviction. Amen. I don't know if you're shacked up or not, but if you are, it's a good time to unshack. Amen. And let God quench your thirst. And it's a good time to dress right. Amen. Might as well toss that in there while I'm at it. And it's amazing to me how they make clothes today. I go to town, if I do go to town with my wife, and I don't like to because I can't stand very long, and I'll be standing around and she'll be looking at something and say, this will never do. I say, what's wrong with this? And she'll show me how low it is or how high it is at the bottom. I've seen her hold up a skirt. Honest to goodness, she goes to bed with more than that on. And they sell it for you to wear to church. May the Lord help us. Amen. I don't know what the trend is today, why women want to show their bosom. Say, y'all not preach that either. Well, why not? I could call it something else, but anyway. I'm just telling you what it is. Amen. And telling you that's the truth. Say, well, preacher, I didn't do that. Well, you did too. You put it on. You knew what it showed. Amen. And so that's your problem, not mine. Don't come fussing to me about it when you get through tonight. You talk to God about it. Be like the one and the preacher preached on dipping snuff and she dipped something like that. And she went out one day and said, PJ, is it wrong to dip snuff? He said, well, won't you pray about it? See what God says. So went home. Next Sunday she come back out. He said, well, what did the Lord tell you? He said, okie dokie. That's the way some people do about how they dress. They just look in the mirror and say, okie dokie. Don't worry about what God says. Don't worry about what God says you ought not to do and ought to do and how you ought to live and what not to live. Amen. You're welcome. And that stuff you set in the refrigerator and drink and wouldn't do it if the preacher's around there. I've sat in the house before and watched them kick a wine bottle under the couch. Thought, my, my. They ought to just get it out and set it on the table. Had one man hide one day. I said, well, just set it out. I've already seen it. Amen. Might as well just set it out when we all see it. I'm not going to take of it, but you don't have to hide it from me because God's already seen it and I've seen it. So what's the use trying to hide it now? What you try to hide from the preacher, something wrong with it. I was visiting the hospital and a lady had a book in her hand. When I walked in the door, I mean a church member. I walked in the door and under the cover of that book went boom. If it hadn't been a lady, I'd said, let's pull the cover down. Getting hot in here. Don't you think it's hot? You know, cool. I didn't know how to do that with a lady, so I was in trouble. But I knew one thing. There was a book somewhere she didn't want to. Somebody pray for Tim. There was a book somewhere that ought not been there, and it was covered up and hid. There it was. I've lost both of them. Well, praise God. Amen. You say, preacher, that kind of preaching won't get, that preaching kind of preaching will get the job done. Amen. We need to hear from God, need heaven to sit down to us. And live. And that woman, when she got in town, she started telling everybody about it. Even those men she'd been with, she began to tell about it. And the Bible, here's an amazing thing. You'll find it there in the scriptures that some believed because of her own testimony. Some believed before they even got to Jesus. And then some came on to Jesus, and then they believed. Amen. We ought to be so excited about being saved that we can go tell somebody about what God did for us. And they can see the difference in our lives and how much it does for us that they too want to be saved. And they'll want Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I realize today that seeing old time conviction is getting harder and harder to see in our day. But I can tell you this tonight, God's still the same God he's always been. He can still bring conviction and draw you to Jesus and get your attention. You say, preacher, I don't have to listen. I don't have to do what the Bible says. No, you don't have to. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll wish you had one day when it comes down to the end, and there you are. I want you to look with me tonight over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 22. Verse number 22. We're going to start reading there. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Look at it closely. At the very breaking in on the middle of it, hath everlasting life. Have it now. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Scriptures I read to you a while ago out of John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm glad, thank God, he told me in his word that I never perish, I never thirst, then said I'd never be condemned. Hallelujah. I stood condemned one day before God. I was condemned and guilty, and I couldn't plead anything but guilty. But Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, took my place at Calvary and said, I'll pay his price. I'll take his place. And there at Calvary, he died for me. He died as me and took my every sin in my life and nailed it to the cross. And he carried it far away and washed it in the blood of Jesus away from me. I say, thank God tonight I'm saved and know that I'm saved. Never be condemned. If you're condemned and you think about it, standing in the courtroom and all the evidence stacked against you, and there you stand, and picture with me, if you will, and they have some songs along this line about being in a courtroom with God, and Satan steps up and makes accusations and says he's guilty, and you have nothing to say, but that's right, I am guilty. As accusations are made to you that you are a sinner and that you fail God and you have sinned in your life and you ought to go to hell. Have nothing to answer, but that's right, that's true. I stand condemned. I am a condemned being. But then Jesus steps up and says, but I took his place. I've already paid that price. You can't sentence him for something that's already been paid for, and that price has been paid. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin and left the crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. I say hallelujah. I am not condemned. Don't have to walk around with that condemnation on me. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I'm a free, 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 free. And you can rejoice and praise God the fact that you're free indeed in Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Shall not. I'll never perish, never thirst spiritually for salvation because I've got it. And never going to be condemned because my condemnation is past. It's over with. I have everlasting life and not be condemned. Oh, I realize I fail God, realize I come short of the glory of God. When we do, we need to let God help us and those things. But let me give you one more tonight. John 6:28. John 6:28. I'm trying to look at that and skip a few verses for sake of time. Look at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, here the religious group is asking questions and trying to trick him up. But verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that bread, true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There's that word thirst again. That hunger is given in here, and I want to just deal with that very briefly about the hunger. I'm glad, praise God, that we'll never hunger anymore. See, back in verse number 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom you have sent. They was asking about works and how what they're supposed to work. And every man has a hunger in him. They want to do something. But I'm glad Jesus said that most people have a hunger in them to do something. Some don't, but anyway. We hunger to do something. Every man hungers to do something in his life, to earn something, be worthy of something, to do something. and here about talking about work for God, he said that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you tonight, if we are to do the works of God and do work pleasing in his sight, we must be born in the family of God. And then that we can work and do those things that please in God as we follow him. I believe Brother Woodworth talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I love also, and that we ought not lean to our own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. We hunger after the things of God. And people in this world are acting every which way, hungering after every which thing, and they're trying to say everything's right, everything's okay, and if you don't see it as wrong, it's okay. And if you're a homo, you're just as good as everybody else. And I'm not saying you're not just as good. I'm saying it's not right in the sight of God. God calls it abomination in his sight. If God calls it abomination, it's abomination in the sight of God. And amen. How in the world a man ever wants a man, I can't understand, save my life. That is beyond my imagination. I love Brother Wooker back down there, but I wouldn't kiss him. You say, preacher, here's you $1 million if you kiss him on the lips. I'd say, take your $1 million and let me punch him in the nose. No. Not that bad. It's not really that bad. I mean, I might kiss him on the forehead. Amen. You know, in the Bible, in the Far Eastern countries, they kiss men each other on the cheeks. They don't mean nothing but that. It's a greeting they have. But you say, preacher, those people, they need help. They do need help. I agree. I agree they need help. I agree they're precious in the sight of God. I agree that Jesus died for them. But I will in no way, any way whatsoever back up on the stand that I take that it's abomination in the sight of God. I refuse to back up. I refuse to yield to that temptation. I refuse to be quiet about it. I refuse to do that. And today our generation is so messed up and so mixed up. If God's people don't get it right and quit backing up on it, we'll be in a mess sure enough in churches and things like that. And we'll be expecting to maybe hauled off to jail if we don't acknowledge that it's okay. It'll be against the law. But I'm telling you right now, they just have to take me to jail. Get me some tracts and we'll preach there. Amen. Because God never changes his word, never changes his mind. But hunger, I hunger after the things of God. But I'm glad, praise God, he satisfies that hunger. Amen. He gives me something nobody else. Get in a good service and let God breathe on it. Let God move through it. There's nothing like it. Amen. I've never eaten a meal tasted that good. I've never had a meal like that before me in all my life. And I don't care what my wife has fixed, how good it is. And I start to say, where you go buy it, but I want you to know her cooking is better than what you buy. If I can get her to cook. I mean, Eddie, you didn't hear that. But anyway, I was at my father-in-law's one morning before he died. And you know these biscuits you get in a bag? And somehow they bought some and they had them. My mother-in-law had always made biscuits. And she could make good biscuits. Great day in the morning. They make you want to slap yourself. But that morning, Miss Jones had fixed some of those out of the bag. And Mr. Jones said, I don't believe I ever had a biscuit tasted any better than this biscuit. She looked at him and said, I bet you never get another homemade biscuit. I learned right then. I learned a valuable lesson. My wife cooks better than anybody else. Amen. But hunger. And I want you to know God sets the table better than anybody else. God set the table tonight. We need to respond to it. You're here, you're lost. Without God, you ought to get saved. Here tonight and you're saved and your life's messed up. You let things in your life ought not to be. Your standard's not what it ought to be. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You ought to come. Let God help you. Then you that need to get saved, if I could, I'd honestly crawl to you on my hands and knees if I'd save you. But I can't make you get saved. All I can do is tell you I love you. Jesus loves you. Why don't you come to Jesus? Let's stand, please. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have tonight to stand in this place. Endeavor to preach the word of God. We need help tonight. This invitation. This morning, Lord, I tried to preach on the greatest invitation ever given. And you said, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Father, I pray tonight that that great invitation be given by the Holy Ghost. God, speak to hearts tonight. These people here that's going to go to hell if they don't get saved. These young folk need to get right with God. Lord, I pray tonight that the pride or whatever it is that stands in the way, that the devil tells them be some other time stands in the way. Whatever it is, it'll be set aside. And they'll respond tonight and come. We'll thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.